I left it record when I left, thinking, oh, I wonder what nuggets I'm going to get from Dave while I'm gone.
I didn't say anything, I don't think.
Well, no, there's. I think you may have coughed or something. I see something around the minute 10 mark that looks like it's something, but it's probably, or something. That at least you did while we weren't recording, so I'm all right with that. If you have any more you'd like to get out, now would be a great time.
I'm good.
Okay.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. There is no evidence. There are no witnesses. But for one, there is no doubt. I am Dave, joined by my boyish, good-looking co-host, Ryan.
Yeah, I'll take that. It's my little boy with a beard.
Yeah. A lot of little boys have beards. But we are Dave and Ryan. We are Movies On Up.
The police are going to get us. We're not even going to get through this episode.
We are Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week, there is no evidence. There are no witnesses. But for one, there is no doubt. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or tweet us @MoviesOnUp on the Twitter. This week, a little bit of a weird episode. This is Richard Linklater's Boyhood, the movie that they filmed over 10 years or so.
The life, pretty much the life of this little boy.
Yeah.
So to speak,
that comes out in limited release this week. So it was either do something related to that or do an old man episode based on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
We were either doing little boys or old men.
Yeah. So we went little boys. So this is So this week, our episode is our favorite movies starring little boys. That's really all it was. We didn't really talk about it a lot. I didn't limit myself to coming-of-age movies. How'd you come about your list?
I started with some that came to mind almost instantly. And then I started thinking about coming-of-age movies. And I feel like we have at some point done that list, but neither of us can remember doing it. So we're going to guess that you probably haven't either. And I really kind of did a somewhat half-assed job of combing through the Movies On Up archives to see if I could locate it, because I was absolutely going to listen back to it and find out what five movies I had and try not to repeat them. But I think I had some that I knew, like, if we did a coming-of-age list, these are what I had on there. And then I replaced as many of those as I could.
I tried to kind of avoid the coming-of-age, kind of, but I didn't want to do, like, About a Boy was one of the first ones to come to mind. But then I thought, I don't want to do something that's like a little boy and an adult. So I tried to work with just movies that center on the children and are driven by the children. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on this list.
Four of my five are like that.
Okay. So we're coming on the little boys the same way
as far as how we approach
this list. But so Ryan, enough talking about little boys. Let's just get down to it. Let's rip off your number five.
I'm very uncomfortable with your body language this entire episode. I'm just going to say that. We are like 4 minutes in, and I have been sufficiently creeped out. My number five is a love story starring a little boy and a little girl. It is a love story in the style of Wes Anderson. It's Moonrise Kingdom from 2012, starring Jared Gilman, Kara Hayward, and Ed Norton. Any movie that can accurately, and maybe that's an editorial comment, but can accurately depict the Boy Scouts for the paramilitary group that they are earns some bonus points in my book. And the fact that they are the de facto bad guys to boot is kind of nice as well. I wouldn't say that this is my favorite of the Wes Anderson movies, but it definitely gives his spin on a young love story. I think in many ways, Sam and Susie, the two young leads in the movie, are kind of the most functional adult characters in the entire story, in what I feel like is pretty vintage Wes Anderson fashion. The entire cast, it is a large cast. They all have their moments to shine. And despite sort of vilifying these khaki scouts, some of them seem like they would actually be fun to hang around with and have in your scout troop when I was of that age. It's a very, very offbeat, I don't want to call it a summer camp movie because it's not really a summer camp movie. It's not really a lot of things, but it's a Wes Anderson version of probably a lot of things. And I thought Jared Gilman did a pretty good job of being a lead in a Wes Anderson movie. I think that takes a special kind of performance, and I think he gave it. Ed Norton's phenomenal in the movie as the khaki scout leader. I just love his character. I mentioned that the scouts are sort of like a paramilitary group. He's very much like he thinks he's leading a group of men, and they're, 12-year-olds, but he doesn't seem to know or care.
My number five is also a love story. It's about a group of young boys who had a prank go disastrously wrong and a group of guards who love raping little boys. It is 1996's Sleepers, directed by Barry Levinson. The cast in this movie is pretty ridiculous. You got Kevin Bacon, De Niro, Hoffman, Jason Patrick, and Brad Pitt, fifth billed. Brad Pitt, we once lived in a world where Brad Pitt was billed below Jason Patrick. Even alphabetically, doesn't matter. That world should never have existed. Yeah, this is a weird one because it deals with this group of kids as children and as adults. But it's really, really awesome. And the most compelling parts of the movie are at the juvenile detention center. You got a young Brad Renfro. Basically, this group of kids have a bad prank, and they have to pay for their time, and the guards make their life a living hell. Much like Shawshank Redemption is very compelling to see everything, the children's parts of Sleepers is very much like that, because you see them try to stand up for themselves, you see what happens, they get somebody on their side, you see what happens to them. It's scary because this is all happening as they're transitioning into men. So it's going to have different effects on different people. And you see the adult casting was great with Ron Eldard and Brad Pitt and Jason Patrick and Billy Crudup. You see them kind of become different men. So I don't really want to call it a coming of age movie, but the little kid parts of Sleepers is the most compelling because they did a really good job of portraying the hell they were in. And, you have Kevin Bacon and his cohorts putting them through that hell. It's a really disturbing movie, but it's a really well-made movie. It's a very, very good Barry Levinson movie. Like, this is the epitome of a great Barry Levinson movie because it does juggle a couple different timelines and a couple different age sets of characters, but it does them well, and the casting looks awesome because it's the little kids are kind of cast perfectly against who their adult counterparts are, but as far as young actors, this movie really gave them some juice to work with and did a really, really good job.
My number four, if my last movie was about young love, this movie would be about some serious man love, and specifically the man love between J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg. It is 2011 Super 8, directed by Abrams, starring Elle Fanning, A.J. Michalka, and Kyle Chandler. In fairness to Abrams, it would be probably difficult for someone growing up in the 70s and 80s who wants to be a filmmaker to not be impacted by Spielberg's movies. He's, one of the most, especially box office wise, one of the most successful directors of all time. So you could see where you would want to make a movie in the style of Spielberg. And Abrams certainly tried to do that with Super 8. There's plenty of nods to other Spielberg movies and even just techniques that he were to use. The movie itself centers around Michalka and his buddies trying to make a Super 8 zombie movie, but catching evidence of aliens on Earth in the process. Elle Fanning is tremendous. It was really kind of the first time I really took note of her. She's the only girl in this group of little boys. And she doesn't seem like she's a little girl. She seems like she's about 37, the way she kind of carries herself on screen.
She looks older than Dakota Fanning's ever looked in this movie.
This is true. But, I really liked the idea of Super 8. I was kind of on board from Jump Street, so to speak. It is suspenseful, full of great action, especially when I was a kid in the 80s. There were lots of movies about a young kid and some aliens. Maybe they were friendly, maybe they weren't, depending on the movie. Some of them were made by Steven Spielberg. But I really, really liked this one. It maybe didn't have the heart of something like an E.T., but it wasn't trying to be E.T. It is its own movie, and I think it's done really, really well. I can absolutely put myself in that position, trying to make a movie with your buddies and just wishing, hoping that it turns out so cool, and then you get something else on tape that turns out to be quite literally the coolest thing that anyone had ever filmed to that point, and all the terrible things that can happen to you. I guess you spin it forward. I see these trailers for that Echo movie, and I think, bah, that doesn't look very good, but I recall a movie just a scant 3 years ago that I feel like Echo is going to be a terrible version of what Super 8 kind of was, or a terrible version of the Spielberg movies from the 80s.
Echo just looks like if you took a VHS of E.T. and a DVD of Chronicle and just like rubbed them together really hard, it shits out Earth to Echo. My number four.
So you take two good movies and you rub them together.
Yeah, and you get a Rumor Willis. Okay. But my number four, another little boy. It's about a little boy and his relationship with his big brother. And I did not realize that I'm kicking off my list with two Jason Patrick movies, as my number four is The Lost Boys. Maybe it's a timing with this movie. I have an older brother that's, you know, about the difference between what Corey Haim and Jason Patrick were at the time. So, you know, he never fell into a vampire gang, but I could relate to the brother relationship that was there. And then I had some dumb friends like the Frog Brothers that I could call over and would probably kill vampires with me. So, I really like this movie. Like, it's really is, and I was never a big Haim or Feldman fan.
Kiefer?
I like Kiefer in this a lot. Jamie Gertz, fantastic. Diane Wiest. I like everything about this movie, and it was one of the first ones that came to mind when I thought, like, okay, I don't want to do coming of age, but what's putting little kids in the spotlight? And this, I mean, yeah, they were preteens, maybe right around just turning teens, but I'll consider them little boys because they definitely were at the time, but it's just such a fun, because it's an action movie. It's an action horror movie that stars your little kids, which I think was a nice welcome change, because so many of them have your, like, high school kids or your, you know, your typical action stars. This was basically just, okay, here's three kids that want to kill vampires, so, you know, we're going to fill the bathtub with. It was like Home Alone with vampires, yeah. Pretty much, long before Home Alone, or not long before, a few years before Home Alone, but it was basically, I think that's what was so good about Home Alone, was just like, oh, here's just stuff we could do around the house. Lost Boys did that. Well, you're killing vampires with stuff that's just around the house.
It was an interesting look at vampires.
Yeah.
It kind of made them cool.
Yeah, and it's what little dude doesn't want to be like his bigger brother. So Haim was in like a cool situation there, but I really liked, to this day, I really love The Lost Boys. Like, I could do without the two sequels. I don't even need to see them to know that I can do without them. But they're not going to be the same Lost Boys that this was, because this threw out everything that, you know, your typical teenage movie was supposed to be, and this kind of made its own way. So The Lost Boys was my number four.
My number three is from 2013. So I've managed to kind of stay relatively recent. One from 11, one from 12, this one from 2013. Directed by Jordan Vaught Roberts, starring Nick Robinson, Gabrielle Basso, Moises Arias, and listener Tyler Moliterno, it's Kings of Summer. Another great story about teenage love. The folks here are maybe a little bit older than the Khaki Scouts, but in the survival skills department, I'd say they're about equal. If Moonrise Kingdom centers around maybe a forbidden love, maybe these kids were in Moonrise were just too young to be eloping to this beach by themselves. I think in Kings, it's maybe a bros before hoes approach. I mean, these guys are probably still too young to be building their own house in the woods somewhere. But the love story is kind of central to some of the events that happen, but it's also, I think, more how men should behave and how they interact with each other, according to 15-year-olds. Arias absolutely hijacks the movie as the, I don't know if you want to call him socially awkward Biagio, but that character, like, so weird, so off the wall, but by the end of the movie becomes so endearing that you gotta love that kid. This was a trailer that we watched and thought, what in the hell is happening? I know a lot of the, maybe not a lot of the kids involved, but a lot of the older actors involved, we like a lot. And really were excited to see this. And the trailer just made no sense at all. But the movie, I liked it. I thought it turned out really good. Turned out good enough to be my third favorite movie starring little boys.
I did like this movie. I expected to like it more. But the Nick Offerman, Kumail Nanjiani scene is the highlight of the movie for me. And Hannibal Buress is one line I really liked. My number three, very similar to my number four, as where it's
is it a Jason Patrick movie?
No, surprisingly, I don't remember him being in this. Very similar, from the same year, same kind of ideas. Instead of little boys fighting vampires, they are fighting the vampire along with Frankenstein, werewolf, mummy. It is Fred Dekker's Monster Squad. A movie I know you love very, very dearly.
I do.
I don't know if it's on your list. If it is, I just
you may have to wait.
Screwed you up, but really, really fun. And it's, you look at my list. Usually, I'm the one with the newer movies. My main three, my middle three, are all '80s movies. And I think I gathered a theme about movies that I loved as a kid when the main characters were about the age I was. So around 87. I was about the age Corey Haim was in Lost Boys. I was about the age the kids were in Monster Squad. And everything I said about Lost Boys is pretty much the same as Monster Squad. Yeah, it's a horror comedy, but your action heroes are little kids just stepping up to the plate to do what they feel is right. It was just a really, really awesome movie. And I know you have feelings on, there's supposed to be a Platinum Dunes remake on it, and it's a story that I feel like could be updated to today and be nailed and be an awesome movie, kick off a franchise, if it's in the right hands. And I don't think Platinum Dunes are the right hands.
No, they've done nothing that would make either of us think that, oh yeah, this will go well.
Yeah, but I just really love this movie. And when I think of like movies about kids, like friendship and kids, like this movie comes to mind right away because I absolutely love it.
This is one that came to mind instantly, and I left it off the list because I feel like I've probably put it on a couple other lists before, and I could probably continue putting it on lists. I love Fred Dekker. This one was written by Dekker and Shane Black,
the team behind the upcoming Predator sequel
reboot. Or I was just gonna say the guy that wrote some of the Iron Man stuff. I do love Monster Squad. It is one of my favorite movies as a child. We might have done that, like favorite movies that, you know, we still like today, and Monster Squad would be very high at that list. I think as kids you're fascinated with monsters, and the Monster Squad in this movie absolutely were. They were kids that just loved monsters. They had their own monster club, and then they now suddenly have to interact with these monsters, and not unlike the Lost Boys, the adults really didn't believe them. So the kids were kind of, well, I guess we have to do something, or everyone's going to be a vampire, or, you know, Dracula is going to bring about the end of the world. Yeah, I love me some Monster Squad. Wolfman's got nards. I love that. A lot of times I forget a lot about movies, but I will literally never forget Kick 'Em in the Nards. My number two, no kicking in the nards in this one, but it is pretty violent. It is the only movie on my list that, while it does have a lot of little boys in it, it's sort of the pull of two grown men on one little boy. It is 1993's A Bronx Tale, directed by Bob De Niro, starring De Niro and Chaz Palminteri. Yeah, there's a few little boys here that kind of grow up around the main character, who's, we'll call him C. He kind of grows up under the influence of the gangster, played by Palminteri, and his bus-driving dad, played by De Niro. This is his directorial debut, and we kind of maybe get a little nervous when a director is, especially in his debut, also kind of starring in the movie. Like, is the workload going to be too much? De Niro did a hell of a job here. You can kind of tell that he may have picked up a thing or two from hanging around guys like Martin Scorsese, because he put together a really, really good mafia movie. It's sort of point counterpoint. You can see, again, not unlike The Lost Boys. I think it all just kind of goes back to The Lost Boys. You can see the allure of that type of lifestyle, whether it's to be a gangster or a vampire. But the older the son gets, the older C gets, things are a little bit more unclear, as maybe this gangster lifestyle isn't quite all it's cracked up to be. But I thought it was a really, really well-done movie by Robert De Niro, who hasn't done a tremendous amount of directing since then.
He did this in 2006's The Good Shepherd.
Yeah, The Good Shepherd was something. But I really liked The Bronx Tale. I'd probably like it more maybe if I grew up in New York, but I grew up in Greenford, and we had some rough streets in Greenford.
My number two, usually with lists, I try to, if movies are similar, I try to kind of keep them separate. But with this kind of list, yeah, my number two is very similar to my three and my four. It was a movie that I liked very, very much as a kid, and I was almost the same age as the stars. Just a fun, whereas my three and four took kids and turned them into, you know, horror action stars. My number two took a group of kids and turned them into space adventurers. And 1985's The Explorers, starring Ethan Hawke, River Phoenix, and Jason Presson, or so I think that was the third dude. Just a fun movie. These kids create a space machine or a spaceship.
Space machine. Yeah, one of those things.
A space flying machine. And they fly into space. And just a fun movie. Like, it's just a fantastic, like, fantasy movie where it is fun when they find the aliens and they make contact and realize maybe life's not all that different. It's just a lot of fun. This is another nostalgic. Of all the lists we've done, this one's probably the most nostalgic because I think back to first seeing The Lost Boys and seeing Monster Squad and this one, The Explorers. Like, just I saw all of those movies in theaters, and I loved every one of them, and I still to this day enjoy every one of those movies. The Explorers didn't seem to pick up as much. I feel like Monster Squad and Lost Boys kind of have their cult following. I don't think The Explorers ever gained that, but such a good movie. You know, I mean, Ethan Hawke's still working. Like, Ethan Hawke is still headlining major motion pictures now. You know, he was carrying this movie. And then River Phoenix, I think, is a delight to watch in pretty much everything he was ever in. He was fun to watch.
I think it's funny that I'm going to go out on a limb and guess what your number one movie is not going to be, that of movies starring little boys. We have collectively a River Phoenix movie, and it's Explorers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, the other one's not my number one.
No.
And I didn't think it was yours either. No.
Yeah, no, it's not. But I just really like The Explorers. And it's just, it's a movie I could throw on for my kids, and I think they'll really get into it too.
I was more of a Space Camp guy. Space Camp came out the year after. It was 86, not 85. But maybe it was just because I wanted to go to Space Camp with Kate Capshaw and Leah Thompson
yeah.
And Kelly Preston. Yeah, I like Space Camp. But I don't like either of those movies as much as I like my number one. It is the first movie that came up when you think of movies, or at least when I think of movies starring little boys. The nostalgia factor is pretty much off the charts with Richard Donner's 1985 flick, The Goonies, starring Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, Corey Feldman. It's sort of a mid-80s dream team here, at least from the writing perspective. You've got Chris Columbus, who wrote Gremlins, and some guy by the name of Steven Spielberg, who may have directed a couple good movies in the 80s, directed by the guy that gave us the Lethal Weapon series. We use the phrase perfect movie a bit around these parts. And I'd argue that in most instances, when we use that phrase, that it is in fact a perfect movie. The Goonies isn't perfect. If you really want to be objective about it, the scene where Data says his favorite part of the adventure being the giant squid, which gets cut out of the movie or not filmed. But there is no giant squid in The Goonies. So I would say that that's probably not perfect. But despite its warts, it is the exact type of adventure that every 12-year-old absolutely dreams about. Maybe with the possible exception of the whole getting shot at by mobsters thing. But we've got pirates, buried treasure, and apparently somewhere along the way, a giant squid. Sometimes I think we try and be really cute and leave off really obvious choices. But when I think about this particular list, movies starring little boys, for me it begins and ends with The Goonies. You may find a critically better movie, but not a more fun one. There are adults in The Goonies, but they really don't show up at all. It is pretty much driven entirely by the cast. And that group, I mean, you talk about River Phoenix having the career he had. Ethan Hawke still headlining movies. Sean Astin, maybe not headlining, but I mean, he's a legit actor still to this day. Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin's a big time.
Like. Yeah. And Feldman had his run, which, you know, I mean, I guess he's still making Lost Boy movies, so he's still around. But, I mean, to me, and maybe Lost Boys is where you picture your Corey Feldman. But in my head, whenever I think of Corey Feldman, I think of Mouth from The Goonies. Whenever I think of Sean Astin. I mean, he's had a career that, you know, you could think of him as Rudy maybe, but no, he's always Mikey to me.
Or Samwise Gamgee.
No, he's always Mikey to me. These guys are always the Goonies to me.
I missed the nostalgia of the Goonies because I didn't see the Goonies until my 20s. I don't know how. I just missed that one. Like, it was always, you know, it seems like if I ever had the chance to see Goonies or Time Bandits, it was always Time Bandits. For some, I don't know why I associate those two movies
together. Because, like, you had two channels on your television.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so Goonies I missed, and I understand why. I missed out on that. But for my number one movie starring little boys, I went to the ultimate little boy, the little boy of all little boys, 2003's Peter Pan, directed by P.J. Hogan. I love Peter Pan, the book, the Disney movie. Like, I don't like a lot of Disney movies. I just always loved the character of Peter Pan. I liked Hook to an extent because it was a different take on Peter Pan. I thought a live-action adaptation of Peter Pan would be really hard to do. But they came out and they actually delivered. Jeremy Sumpter played Peter Pan. Rachel Hurd Wood was Wendy. And then Jason Isaacs was pretty awesome as Captain Hook. Ludovine Sagner as Tink was a highlight. They really nailed it. They did a good job with Neverland, like making Neverland this fantastical world. The girl that played Wendy was fantastic at being kind of split between, like, I have family here, but this is a perfect world for a little girl. Sumpter was kind of dry as Peter Pan. He had one goal in mind, and that was to have fun, and he pulled that off pretty well. I thought it was a really good performance from him, which, you know, he was younger at the time, obviously, because this is 11 years ago. But it was well acted all the way around. The Lost Boys, I mean, it was a tearjerker. Like, there was the ending of it's phenomenal. Like, even if you know the Peter Pan story, it did a good job of keeping you engaged, and it did a good job of putting Neverland on screen, of putting Peter Pan on screen. Everything was good. It was a really, really good live-action adaptation that I don't really think anybody expected, and I think it kind of went under the radar. I think it was released right around Christmas, and I feel like I might have been the only one that went and saw it in theaters because I was that stoked for a live-action Peter Pan, and it didn't let me down. I was really, really into it. So that was my number one movie starring little boys. Did you have any also-rans?
I wouldn't even call them also-rans. They're movies that I was paranoid about because I thought I'd already done this exact list. And Monster Squad was obviously one that I had pulled off.
Stand By Me is one that neither of us mentioned that I think is an obvious one.
It's an obvious one. And maybe it's, you know, like you not seeing the Goonies at that age. I mean, I didn't see Stand By Me till I was older. And, like, I get it. I'm fine with it. I don't hate Stand By Me, but I don't like it that much. I don't like it nearly as much as any of the movies that are on my list. I do like Son of Rambo an awful lot.
Son of Rambo was on mine, but I remember talking about it on an episode that may or may not have been a coming-of-age story movie. I know I've talked about Son of Rambo. It fits this list perfectly, but I left it off. I knew we'd still mention it. Just an awesome movie, bunch of kids making a movie. I really like that one.
Those were really the only also-rans I had. It was just, and like I said, I hate to call them also-rans. They were movies that I took off and then replaced them with other movies that I like a lot. So I didn't put a great deal of thought into this list because it didn't need to. There were enough that came to mind immediately that I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good here.
I had Son of Rambo, Where the Wild Things Are. I really like that movie, but I remember talking about it for something. I don't remember what.
I had it on one of my lists for, like, movies about being alone or something.
Yeah, that's probably it because I waxed about it then. I really like that movie. A Christmas Story, I really like, but we did a whole episode about it. I didn't feel like I needed to talk to it. That Sean Astin shows up again in Toy Soldiers.
Yeah.
There was that one, and there was another movie that was pretty much exactly, what was it called, Masterminds or something? That one I'm pretty sure had Patrick Stewart, but I actually liked Toy Soldiers. It was Sean Astin and Will Wheaton. Battle Royale popped into my head. I left it off.
Starring little boys and little girls.
And then People Under the Stairs was always one of those that I always went back to. A.J. Langer, and then I don't remember the boy lead, but that was one that I saw when I was a youth. And then one that it doesn't star a little boy, but for some reason it popped into my head, Beasts of the Southern Wild. Stars a little girl,
right? Yeah,
but she's in very much like a, I don't know. That,
she's a little tomboy.
Yeah, she's a little tomboy, which is why it popped into my head so much. But I guess I was in the mindset of like child actors, and that's one of the best like young performances I've ever seen. So that's the only reason I felt like mentioning that. But yeah, so I mean, this list, I put a lot more thought into it than I expected to, but you know, we're just a couple grown men talking about little boys.
Yeah, nothing to see here. Move along.
That's it for this week. Next week we'll be back with an episode on something. Oh, I think we're watching The East next week.
That sounds fine.
The Britt Marling joint. If it's not next week, it's probably the week after
little
that.
Little boys and eco-terrorism.
Yeah, but get a hold of us. Twitter, @MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. And if you've ever come into my work and seen me working and want to say hi but don't want me to think you're a creepy girl saying hi, just come say hi instead of talking to somebody else at my work about how much you like my podcast. Come tell me that, because that's cool to hear. So, or email me.
Because God knows I'll never tell you.
Yeah. Email me. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Don't be afraid to say hi. We actually, I take compliments awkwardly, but it's always nice to hear. So don't be afraid to come say hi next time you're in my work, especially if I'm working. That's it. We'll see you next week with whatever the hell we're doing. And
or we'll see you sooner at the
Yes. Until then,
keep it up.